So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God of justice, Heavenly Father, Lord God of love, please be with us, please guide us, please teach us today. Amen. So back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, God gave a song to Moses, and he said that everybody should learn this song and sing it regularly. And it was all about God. And the way God described himself was this in Deuteronomy 32:4. God, he is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Upright and just is he. Our God is just. And our passage in Isaiah is clear. We are called to do right. But what is right? Right is to seek justice, to encourage the oppressed, to defend the cause of the widow, defend the cause of the fatherless, to plead the case of the widow. And so in Mozambique, we have a widow. She came into our office and her name's Rosa. Her husband had died only about a week before, leaving her with their son, young son. But into the house already, within space of a week, the husband's father had come and said, "We're taking the house, we're taking everything, it belongs to us." What was she to do? She was a widow and had nothing. She had a child to protect. Our call is to protect her, to plead her case, and that's what we were able to do. So she now is safely in her home and her son has a roof over his head. We're to speak up for the fatherless. We have a young girl, Sophia. She was raped. She doesn't have a father, but she has a mother who's not strong. The mother did, however, take her to the police, but the police don't always act rightly in many African countries, including Mozambique. They didn't do anything except every few days demand that this little girl come back and repeat her story to another person. She was being re-abused. She's fatherless. We're to defend her cause. A lawyer went and helped her to get her case into the right place, and now the man who raped her is in prison, and the little girl's being helped. We're to speak up for the oppressed. There are many young children on the street. Many of them are put in prison for no reason, just because the police decide to do that. They're not with charge, and there's no one to visit them or help them. But there is a Christian association who goes in and visits them. And that association is called us to go in and spend time with these young people. And some of them now are coming out, and the rest of them we will work with until they're out or properly charged. Our call is to do justice, and our call is also love. Love means laying ourselves down, giving of what we have. When our brothers and sisters in Christ are in need, we're to support them, we're to give. Maybe it's giving our talents, our gifts, which always only come from God anyway. Or maybe it's of giving our money, which also only comes from God. And in saying that, I just really want to thank you here in Parsons Heath for the gifts that you're giving to enable God's word, God's love, God's justice to reach the marginalised and the oppressed in other countries like Mozambique. So thank you very much. Let me talk to you a little bit about Mozambique and BMS. So BMS, as you know, has got people in most continents of the world and doing many different ministries, from health, education, church planting. And in Mozambique, here we are, Mozambique, is a team from BMS. Mozambique is on the southeast corner. And it's as you can see, it's all along the coast. The country hugs the coast. In Mozambique, we've got a team of about seven. We have Fiona, She's our team leader and does development and project management. And working with her is a member of our team, a Baptist missionary, but he's local. His name's Carlos. Then there's Annette and Damien, who you support. I think you might know that they went out as single people, but met there, married there, and are now expecting their baby. They'll be coming back to the UK to have their baby soon. And then there's Liz and Sergio, and they're working with youth and children. Our team is here in Beira, which is pretty much halfway up the country. I was also with them for 2 years, and Annette, Damien and I worked together in the legal field, which you know about through Chris. But after the 2 years, it was clear that one of our team would need to go to the capital city to help get things going there. And again, against my wishes, I was chosen to go. I really didn't want to leave the friends I'd made nor the team, but I went alone, and I'm here in Maputo now. And again, blessed because I've managed to, or God's given me many lovely friends and support. So that's Mozambique. I just share a little with you. This is a flag. This is a Mozambican flag. It's the only flag in the world that has a gun on it. It's not very good. Mozambique is a struggling country. It's number 8 on the list of human, bottom 8 of the Human Development Index. There's 188 countries and Mozambique is number 180. It's got a very young population. It's not clear here, but under 24 is 66% of the population, and over 55 is only 6% of the population. So it's only a very small 27% basically of working people for that country. It's been through war, initially for independence against the Portuguese, and then civil war, which only ended in 92. Before independence, which was 75, the Mozambicans were oppressed by the Portuguese. They weren't allowed an education up over year 10. And so we've got a young country that's been through the ravage of war, that's not well educated until the last 20 or 30 or 40 years. Well, it's struggling, it's really struggling. Just give you just some pictures, it's nice to see. So I show you Maputo. Although it's a big city, there's many great buildings, and although there is a lot of wealth, unfortunately from mainly the politicians, there's a lot of corruption, there's also a lot of poverty, and just a view for you of the suburbs, and also a view for you of one of the local markets. And just some differences again. So the city is quite clear. That's just off the street where I live. I walk there along that street to go to my office. But only maybe 2 hours drive out of the city, and it's more homes that are very, very poor indeed. However, I've got a lovely home. This one here, that's actually my street. And so that's where I shop for my fruit and vegetables. I'm a bit surprised in England you just can't go onto the street and buy a fruit and veg. I miss it. This one is my house. I have a little granny flat. This bit's mine and the other bit is the granny flat for my neighbour. So you can see I get a lovely home. And you've seen inside my home already when I showed earlier, that's my lounge, and the church that I attend here. Into this, there's very few lawyers in the country. In this country, 65 or 60 odd million people, we've got more than around 200,000 lawyers, barristers and solicitors. In that country of 25 million, there's 1,200. Admitted lawyers. So it's very few. There's only 354 judges. There is a legal aid, but you can see there's few lawyers, and they don't get to reach too many people. But also, the lawyers that work in the legal aid are not paid. So when they take on a case, they often ask their client to pay some money. And it's understandable, they're needing to put food on the table for their families. But it's supposed to be free, so access to justice isn't as it should be. Into that comes a muck. That's who we work for, the Association of Mozambican Christian Lawyers. That only started with a dream in 2010, became a reality with registration in 2013. Beira office opened in 2014, and now Maputo, 2015. But they have as their key verse the one that we've talked about to do today. Learn to do right, seek what is just, help the oppressed, do justice for the orphan, plead the case of the widow. And the picture there is some of our lawyers were sent by BMS to an Advocates Africa conference. So every 2 years, Christian lawyers from all over Africa get together and talk, and BMS kindly sent five of our lawyers. It's a real encouragement for them because they deal with issues day to day of bribery, corruption, injustices that they can talk with people in other African countries about how best to deal with in the light of God's law. You've seen our offices, that's them. I want to share with you that we've had working in Beira one young man called Isaac. He's an intern, like an article clerk, but they have the right to do quite a lot. But in our Maputo office, we've just taken on the first lawyer for AMAC, Marie. Marie is actually a refugee from Rwanda, but has been in Mozambique for 16 years and became a lawyer there just a few years ago. Also working with us is Leonardo, a law student. And our office is very small, and it's at the back of an internet cafe, of all things. That's what we can do at the moment. But in the internet cafe is Jacinta. Now, one thing about Mozambique and many African countries is that power is not good. So you can have a power cut at any time, and it can be pretty much every day at times, for you don't know how long it will be off. Same with the water. Oftentimes you can turn on the tap and there'll be no water. So when the power is on, we make the most of it, charge everything up. When the water's on, we make the most of it and fill up buckets. But Jacinto was in the internet cafe and the power was off regularly for days and days and days. So he came into our office and said, "Do you have something we can read?" And we said, "Sure." We gave him daily devotional books. So he read two and then asked for a Bible. And now he prays with us. That's just been a lovely thing to happen. And the other young man is Souza. We rely very much on volunteer lawyers and law students to help with all the work we do at this stage. And Souza is one of those that helps. We have a program of discipleship. So for us, it's really important that lawyers will put God first in their life. I guess it's the same for all of us. Whenever we work in a system that is the way it is, that's what we know. But we need to look at our systems and our culture in the light of God and his law. So we're really working side by side with the lawyers and the law students to think about what the Bible is saying about how we're to behave as lawyers, to be just, to not take or accept bribes, and really to put God's name first, to work truly for his glory. So we do get together sometimes in fellowships. And also we had a talk at a university with students about following God. And at that talk was a judge. This judge is him, Carlos. He told us that he's a Christian. And so we were able to meet with him. And he's told me that he wants very much to put God first in the judges' lives, that he wants honesty and that he wants anti-corruption. So Carlos will need a lot of prayers. In Mozambique, in the last year or so, there have been a number of prosecutors, lawyers, people that speak out against what goes on, killed or kidnapped. People need prayers because the government can be oppressive, but Carlos will certainly need our prayers. Oh, another thing that we do is legal education. So in the case that I told you about of Rosa, a woman whose husband's family were trying to take away her home, in fact, it is the belief in Mozambique that the property belongs to the father's family. So we really need to go and talk to pastors and the community about what the law really says. And we do that. We go out and give legal educations to pastors and to churches. So just some pictures of that. And then, of course, we take clients. I haven't given you any photos of clients there because that's not really fair. But this is our little office. And this is a pastor, Luis. He's the one that works with the street boys and goes into prisons regularly. And he asks our lawyers to go in with him. So this is a meeting for two of our lawyers with him just before they were going into prison. And on the other side is a group of former prostitutes. They're backs to us. And they were talking with our lawyer, Marie. Before she became our lawyer, she was volunteering. These women have lived in really dire circumstances where you could see earlier that we've got very many people under 24, which means that a lot of their parents have died, because there's not that population above. So a lot of adults die, means a lot of children are without parents. They might go and live with extended family, but they're too much for the extended family to bear. And so at times, they're put out onto the street to work as prostitutes. It's not really a choice for them. But Christian associations go and try to get these girls off the street. There's trafficking involved in this too, and work with them. So we went along really just to talk to them about their rights and their responsibilities as well. Sadly, because of their work, a lot of them have children themselves, but also because of their work, they're HIV positive and likely not to have long lives. So when we went, we were talking to them about planning for their children's future, maybe by wills or thinking about who would care for their children if they weren't able to. And I guess in the end, in all this work, it is for the glory of God. And in this work, we really pray, may your kingdom come, may your will be done, now and forever. And here's a shot I took, photo I took at one legal education. We stayed overnight out of town and we got the most beautiful sunset. Having shared a little of the verses about justice and love, in John 3:16, we're called to lay down our lives. We're called to loving action in truth. This has been tested for me. As I've shared with you, I had to move, first of all, to Mozambique, but then alone into this city, which hasn't been an easy city for me to live in as a single white woman. However, I have been there and I have been doing my best. But over that time, I've also suffered myself. And I guess I want to share with you a little of that because it's the reality of life. It's life here and it's life there. I think initially, within 1 year, I had a horrible car accident where I was driving and the driver of the other car was very drunk, zigzagged and pushed my car off the road, leaving with me a sore back, but also having to face a criminal trial. Because in Mozambique, both drivers are guilty until proved innocent, basically. So I had to go to court as a criminal defendant and speak in Portuguese, which is their language, to defend myself. I had, of course, one of our lawyers with me, which was a blessing. And God was gracious to me, and I was found not guilty. It was clear that I wasn't from all the evidence, but it was a blessing. And then in Maputo, I was walking along a street with my bag and a motorbike came by and ripped my bag off me. It had my beautiful Bible in it, but I rang the telephone number my telephone, which was in the bag. The man answered it and agreed to give me some things back. So we had a bit of a touch and go while he said where he would dump my things, and with together with my Mozambican friend, I went. But more recently, was a little bit more difficult for me when I let in the electric worker to come in and do the things he needed to do in my home. But unfortunately, while there, he attacked me. He attacked me and stole from me my money, all that I had in my house. When he had finished attacking me, he put me under my bed, and the attacking was strangling, so I couldn't say very much throughout. But when I was under my bed, I really did try to think, what am I supposed to do as a Christian in this situation? While I was under my bed, he was, of course, going around looking for other things. But I realised I have to tell him that Jesus loves him. And so I shouted out to him in Portuguese, "Jesus loves you." And then I remembered, we have to love our enemies. So I said to him, "I love you." And then I told him, "God is good and Jesus is Lord." At that time, he just ran. He just ran out. But now we just really pray for him that he will know the truth of that. That's unfortunately just our life, I guess. Through all of that, I took a lot of courage from Isaiah 43, which tells us that we are going to go through the rivers, we are going to go through the fires, but God is with us. He is with us. And I also remember something a dear man from my own church told me. Before I left, he said, "You know, of course, the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And I said, "Yes, yes, I know the Great Commission. I have to go into all the world, baptizing, making disciples. I know that." And he said, no, it's not that. It's this. At the end of that passage, Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." And that is something that we carry with us. When we go out to do God's work in obedience, surely he is with us to the end of the age. Thank you. Mm-hmm.